7. The Faint Scent of Apples. There was a point when Martha had believed in what Lenk and his company were doing. Fantail presented itself as a meeting place. The community where friends meet friends was the slogan they discarded in her first year. But Martha understood that what they were selling was a product that divided the world up into tinier and more perfectly polished fragments. They were selling pieces. In those early days, this idea excited her. The pieces that Enoch had told her were forbidden. The pieces that she'd come to see could bring comfort were an intense and important part of the world he'd denied her. She loved it. She had fought a bear and won. Somewhere in the dark woods of Oregon were the bones of a bear she had brought down with her own hands, the flesh turning to rot, the rot feeding fungi and tree roots, the trees giving homes to insects, the insects feeding the birds flying overhead, calling loud and wild. That was pieces too, she said to the imagined ghost of her father. This thing Fantail was making was the beautiful pieces. In her imagination, he turned his face from her when she said this. And in her imagination, she smiled. Anything that wasn't Enoch was good. It had taken more than 2 years. Long hours, home after midnight, takeout in the office, she and Lenk laboring together to save him and to save his company. They came close to the brink 6 or 7 times. She pulled in favors from people she'd worked with across Silicon Valley to get the bugs fixed faster than the users could rage quit over them. When a major launch failed to meet its milestones and their next payment wasn't triggered in time, they were only one payroll from going under, and Martha took partial salary plus stock, and Lenk didn't take his salary at all to keep paying the devs. He sold his condo and slept on her couch for 3 months until the next payment came through. He was angry and driven. He stayed up at night coding and sending emails and writing up ideas. He woke her sometimes late at night with a thought, just to hear her tell him it was great. Other people in the company said to her often that they didn't know how she put up with it. Eventually, the company stabilized, and the board congratulated Lenk, and, more quietly, Martha. It was only then, after the great rushing wave had crashed over them, that she thought of using Fantail herself, of looking, perhaps, to find the Enochites. Why would an Enochite have a Fantail profile? Perhaps because they, too, had left that world behind. It had been more than 15 years since the last sermon. Some of them would surely have returned to their previous lives. She found a man named Junsa, a Korean-American who had come to the compound a year before the end. She remembered him. He had only been a little older than her, and lost. His father had died, his mother had left. People like this were drawn to Enoch for his qualities of fatherliness, his rough wisdom, and his manliness. Martha remembered Junsa as a gentle person, kind and sad and thoughtful. They had worked together feeding the animals on cold mornings. She looked at his photographs now. He had a wife and 2 small children, and he lived not too far away. Junsa had written messages under his father-in-law's pictures calling him dad. She was glad that he'd found someone new and better to be his father. Junsa responded with pleasant speed and interest to Martha's message. They met in a steakhouse in Reading on a Sunday afternoon. She played upbeat music on the drive and rolled down the windows. She was looking forward to seeing him again, more than that, to talking to someone who really understood her and the life they'd lived. It had been a long time since she'd spoken to anyone who remembered Enoch, or the Martha she'd been until she was 17. Junsa looked much the same, as if the years had not touched him or had just ripened and softened him. When he hugged her, he had the faint scent of apples. And she remembered with pleasure that he had always had this clean, childlike fragrance. "I haven't told my wife who you are," he said as they sat down. Something in her face must have made him realize he hadn't been understood. "I don't mean that she'd be angry that I'm meeting a woman. I just said you were a friend from high school. I haven't told her a lot about Enoch. I said I was there, but only for a few weeks."
"It wasn't so long," said Martha softly.
"You weren't there so long.
Still, you must remember it well."
"People think, you know what people think. I have a new life now. My wife and I, we've been together almost 10 years.
"That's much longer than you were with us," Martha said.
She could see that he was anxious. He needed her to tell him that she barely knew him. This was already not what she'd hoped. She had wanted to talk to someone about the best parts, the moments of joy and awe. Maybe Junsa wouldn't want to talk about it at all. Perhaps all she would get here was the scent of his skin and the knowledge that they had been in the same place together once, long ago. Maybe that would be enough. They ordered lunch. Steak, potatoes, cream spinach. The food arrived quickly, as if the staff were eager to hurry them out of the almost empty restaurant.
Their meals were in front of them before Junsa had finished telling Martha about his older son starting school. He was proud that his son had cried and clung to him at the school gate, and proud again that eventually he'd march bravely in. Martha understood. "It's good to have a normal life," she said, "after everything." Junsa's face expressed relief. That was apparently what he wanted, to be told that he was normal, that all his emotions and experiences now were normal. "And you," he said, "you survived it. You're doing well." It wasn't a question. Her fantail profile showed her job description. The company was growing. "It must be an interesting role," said Junsa, and Martha described a little of the late nights, the pressure, but yes, the achievement. She spoke of the dream for the company, of the stories she'd already read, old war comrades reuniting after decades, separated brothers finding each other again. "Like this meal," she said. "I could never have found you without Fantail. This is what the company does, brings people together, from fragments to a whole." She knew what she was saying and knew that it was a lie. But perhaps it was the kind of lie Junsa would enjoy, a reinterpretation of the work of Enoch. Junsa said, "Did you decide to work there so you could find me?" "I don't understand." "I don't mean just me. Are you looking for us?" Martha sliced a piece off her overdone steak and chewed it. "It only occurred to me recently that I could try to find anyone," she said. "But don't you want to talk about it? Now we both have normal lives, jobs, you have a family. I just thought it would be good to share some memories." "I was shaking when I saw your message." He started to speak in a low voice, not hurried but not pausing, as if he'd practiced this speech. "Do you know what I remember? After you left, Enoch was a broken man. He didn't speak for 6 days, and on the seventh, he gave a sermon of despair. He told us that all things in this miserable world would shatter into fragments, that no human man can change the broken quality of this existence, that it had been the temptations of evil that he thought he could. He told us to surrender ourselves to pieces, to hurl out our harvest, to tramp down the seedlings." Martha's sinuses ached, her temples were hot, and a dull headache began to bloom across her forehead. After all this time, was this still not over? "I had to," she said, and there was no other answer. Her fingers touched the leather purse on the bench seat beside her. She would stand up in a moment, leaving her meal and Junsa. She would drive home in her own car, which was leased to her name, and open the door of her apartment with her own key. She would sit in the quiet of her home and spend all night, if she wished, observing fragments of her life and others. "That's it?" Junsa said. "I had to? That's it?" And Martha knew she was truly alone, now and forever. Her friends in the valley would always understand why she left, but not why she'd stayed. The Enochites would understand why she'd stayed, but never why she left. She'd broken herself into fragments, and now she had to live that way. There was no one who could see all her pieces. "I don't think this conversation is going anywhere," said Martha. "I'm sorry this is so hard for you. I have to go." "Well, that's what you do," said Junsa as Martha stood. "You want to know why I came today? I came to see whether you were going to apologize." On her way home, Lenk called her. There was a crisis with the rollout in Europe, some fucking data law bullshit. They were going to get screwed from 27 different directions at once. Martha didn't bother going home. She went straight to the office where Lenk was inevitably screaming at a group of 6 people who could get paid extremely well anywhere in the valley and didn't have to put up with this shit. She walked through the conference room door. Every face in the room turned to her. The tech leads with an anguished relief, Lenk with righteous anger. She recognized him and recognized her place here. She was the one who could sit at his right hand, turn his fractured thoughts into actionable notes and deliverable plans. She was the one who could soothe him. She was the one he respected. She belonged here. It was the only place her pieces made sense.